Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, as we consider the plagues, and we've looked at the plagues in Egypt, and we're considering the plagues, this book of judgment, seven-sealed book of judgment here that we find in the book of the Revelation, and plagues that come from it. The Lord here revealing unto John, and through His Word revealing to us things that are going to come to pass. And taking a look at a comparison between the two. There's been some questions that I've asked and want us to keep in mind as we consider these passages about the hardening of a heart and how that's done, how the Lord works in that to the extent that He does, and what sinners do in the hardening of their own hearts. I've asked you to keep in mind and be on the lookout for the rapture, if we have any indication of the rapture having taken place in these passages, and then we're looking here at these judgments that the Lord is pouring out upon the earth, and we took a look at last time how man's way is a remorseful way, and men in this day are going to seek to escape the wrath and the judgment of God in their own way, but it's going to be such that the Lord, being in control of life and death, seemingly is going to make it such to where they can't die, even though they want to, because that's in the hands of the Lord. We come up here on these trumpets, and we're looking and considering about these trumpets in chapters, chapter 8. And which is the last or the seventh, a result of the seventh seal of the book. And we left off last time in chapter 8 and verse number 12, where even though a third of the sun is smitten and the stars and the moon, it doesn't say anything there about men dying. And then in verse number 13 is where we pick up for this afternoon. And in Revelation 8, verse 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." And that's an exclamation, because it is going to indeed bring great woe. As we consider and look at these last three trumpets, they are fairly extensive. There's more that's involved with each of them. We've read about the first and the second and the third and the fourth, and all in this chapter 8. But these third trumpets, these three remaining three trumpets, are much more extensive. There's a lot more that's said about them. And the time frame seems to be extended regarding them. And so we start in chapter 9, verse number 1. "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit." Here we have the mention of the bottomless pit. And I ask the question, it's a question I ask myself. I want to know completely. And of course, we know that all things are the Lord's. He's created all things. What is there that God hasn't created? So we know that the bottomless pit indeed is created by the Lord. But where is the bottomless pit? Where is it? Where is it located? Is it something that is here upon the earth that the Lord is going to open up? I think that there certainly could be argument to that. I can't get dogmatic about it, but I wonder about it. Whose is the bottomless pit? Okay. And the reason I ask that, the reason I make that statement, who does the bottomless pit belong to? Who is it controls it and that operates it, runs it? We know things, I believe, and we know that the scripture bears out, you know, all things are the Lord. Everything of the creation, all that there is His kingdom and domain. The Satan, being a prince and a power of the air, he's been assigned a responsibility and authority over this earth, and he'll be called into judgment because of it. As there are in the book of Daniel, there's princes, angels, that are assigned different responsibilities over different nations. Okay, and I think we see that bore out there. And the Lord has done so. And there are those in that spiritual realm and in that spiritual world, and there's a great conflict and a great fighting that's at hand in that place. Here, this bottomless pit is going to be revealed, and the fifth angel has sounded, and a star has fallen from heaven to the earth. Some would say, in the reference of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels, where he makes reference, and I didn't note this scripture here, but he makes reference about Satan, that he saw Satan being cast from heaven as a star. Let me see if I can find that real quick. We'll read it. Memory serves me correctly. It's when the Lord sent the disciples out and they were able to have power over demons and cast out devils and such as that. And they came back and they were glorying in that. They were really enthused about that, as well as we would be. And the Lord said, "Rejoice not." He said, "I beheld Satan cast out of heaven." A reference like a star or something like that. And he said, "But rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Okay? And so some might say that this would be Satan. And I wonder about that, because, and the reason is for the things that take place in this. Is this Satan? So the fifth angel sounded, which is the Lord's, if you will. This star has fallen from heaven, and it says to him. In English, we would say, well, maybe that refers to the star. Well, maybe it refers to the angel. I don't know, and I don't want to be such as, you know, make more questions than there are answers, but how is it that it's there? I wonder about that. I'm honest with you and just wonder about it. Remember that in Revelation chapter 20, Satan will be bound by an angel with a chain and be cast into the bottomless pit. Okay? And so at that point, certainly the Lord is exercising control over Satan, and he's exercising control over the use of the bottomless pit. And so is the bottomless pit Satan's domain, or is it such that the Lord has created for his working? We know all things are under the Lord, but I wonder about those things. I'm sorry I don't have a better answer for you, but let's read these scriptures and see what they say. To whom the key was given, a key to the bottomless pit, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. Now think of the furnace that was in Daniel, or the Hebrew children's day, and in Nebuchadnezzar's day, that the Hebrew children were thrown into a great furnace that they were able to heat 7 times hotter than it should have been heated, for the sake of Nebuchadnezzar trying to punish the 3 Hebrew children. There's this great furnace. The smoke comes out as of a great furnace out of the pit, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So here we have another effect on the sun, as it was in chapter 8, verse number 12, where the fourth angel having sounded and the sun was smitten. And then in chapter 6, where we saw in verse number 12 that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Here, by reason of this pit, the sun and the air were darkened. And so that gives us a hint about to the location of the pit. Maybe the pit, the bottomless pit. Well, the circumference of circumference of the earth is 24,000 miles. That makes a diameter somewhere around 8,000 miles. How could it be bottomless if that is finite? Well, we're dealing with God again, aren't we? Okay, so if the Lord has created such in the earth, indeed, when it's opened, it's such that this smoke that arises from it will darken the sun and the air by that smoke. And so I think we have a hint there as to where the pit is, that it is on the earth. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. So out of this smoke comes locust. And to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And so what is the power of a scorpion? It's that tail, that curled up tail on the backside of that scorpion with that deadly stinger. And some of you have seen those. I've only seen dead ones. I might have seen live ones at some display that we've seen at a zoo or something like that. But some of those scorpions are deadly. And they say that that sting from a scorpion is very, very painful. Just the getting of the sting is a very, very painful thing. And so these locusts, or these creatures that are like unto locusts, that's how John describes them, they have power as a scorpion does. We'll see more about that. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, as a locust would want to do, neither any green thing, as a locust would want to do, neither any tree. That was commanded them, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So now there's a distinction about the objective and the directive to these locust-like creatures that have this scorpion tail. They are only allowed to afflict those that don't have the seal of God on their foreheads. And we saw about those, the only indication we've had in the scripture about those that have been sealed are in chapter 7, the 144,000, 12,000 out of each of the tribes of Israel, less Dan and less Ephraim. And so here they are upon the earth. Would you say that the 144,000 are saved? Indeed they are. They're the Lord's people. And so, I'm not looking to be quarrelsome by any means. It's not an effort to be quarrelsome in any way, but we have to be careful about what we say, and broad brush things in statements that we're all subject to make, okay? I believe that, as we've read in our theme verse over in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, we're not appointed to wrath. And I believe that there is going to be a rapture of the saints out of this earth. I believe that before the Lord begins to judge this earth and to deal with Israel, that the saints of God as a whole will be taken out. Whoever saved at that time will be taken out. But when the 144,000 are sealed, I don't know. I wonder, are they sealed after the rapture, before the rapture? If they're sealed before the rapture, would they not go out? Now, the Lord can do anything He wants to. So if we say that the Lord would take all the saved, and they are sealed, or they are the Lord's, and He does save them before the rapture, then all the saints aren't going out, are they? But if He seals them after the rapture, then there are those that the Lord visits and touches and saves. Yes, the effect of the Comforter by virtue of the Lord's church. Yes, the Lord's church. Yes, the Lord's people, those that are saved, are going out in the rapture. And the Spirit, the work of the Spirit in believers and in the Lord's church, is that element is going to be removed. But understand, the Spirit of God is not going away from the earth, because the Spirit of God is always everywhere. Okay, so it's just we just need to be aware of that and temper. I can get as dogmatic as anybody, but we need to temper things with understanding from the Scripture, and understanding the Scripture will help us in that. The two witnesses, they're going to be sent by the Lord, and we're going to read about them and to them in times to come. Are they saved? Indeed, they are. Now, they're somehow miraculously sent by the Lord, so they're not men that I don't believe that will be born on the earth and raise up and then be saved and such as that. But the Lord will just send them. He'll send them back to the earth. But they will be there, and they will be saved, and they're going to be on the earth 42 months, 3.5 years. And so I find that interesting too. There will be a representation of the Lord in His great plan and in His great way. And so the distinction is made here. There are those with a seal, and there are many that are without, and they are the ones to be tormented by these creatures. And verse number 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill these without the seal, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So 5 months, what? Some nominally 150 days, approaching half of a year. These creatures will go about the earth seeking to sting those without a seal. Won't those with a seal be hated of those that are being stung? They'll crawl in, they'll come into houses that remain, they'll come into buildings, they'll come through the windows. I venture that they won't, they'll be such, and this is just speculation on my part, but by virtue of their nature and the way that they seem to be, they won't be a creature that'll ever need rest. And they've been given a mission and a directive by God. Is this the work of Satan? Is this the work of Satan that he would afflict his own? Satan is not beyond afflicting his own. And so I see these not so much as the agents of Satan that have been turned by the Lord, but these seem to be creatures created by God for this work. It was given unto them that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, verse 5. And their torment is as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. They'll be so tormented that they'll want to die. They'll despair of life, but life does not pass till the Lord allows life to pass. And it's interesting that the Lord does such a thing. They will be remorseful in that they've been found in the midst of the judgment of God upon sinners on this earth, and they will not be able to escape. Let's read on. In verse number 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. I always think about a horse that's like in the days of the knights. That's what comes to mind. Got a lot of armor on them. And they're like horses. That's the way John describes them. They've come up out of the bottomless pit. So they are indeed, I believe, are living creatures. They are creatures created by the Lord. And that's the way they look to him. The horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were, crowns like gold. So there was some kind of something on their head that was like a gold crown. And their faces were as the faces of men. Here, every evil and wicked imagination of demonic activity, and even the demonic activity that Satan has been allowed to reveal unto men, because witchcraft and sorcery and devil worship an elevating of the demon world, those fallen angels, I mean, that's been amongst mankind for millennia. And mankind has reveled in that. I've told you about some of the art that we've seen, that I've seen, and maybe you have seen, and how those that seek to you don't have to look very far on the internet if you go to look and research about such things, just demonic looking pictures and representation of creatures. And then you think about all the alien movies. I pray you haven't had exposure to that, but you can hardly not have exposure to it in this day in which we live. And think about all those creatures that are fantasized by men for the sake of entertainment, which are not true, which are not real, but these are real. These are 5 months kind of real. And man has chased after that thing entertainment-wise and fantasy-wise, and now he's got something, mankind has got something on his hands that is real for sure. I just find that very interesting. This is a nightmare. This is a nightmare that could never be conceived by a man. And it's real. And the Lord has poured it out in this trumpet that has sounded. Not only that, verse number 8, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, a face like a man, a crown of gold, and teeth in that mouth of that man like a lion. And they can't be thwarted, and they can't be destroyed. And I don't believe they can be fought against. Because you think about the desolation that's already been brought to the earth already. I think technologically wise, this earth is going to be set back by the judgment of the Lord. And manufacturing is, as we know it, is going to go out the window. And mankind that remains is going to resort to just the basic kind of fare. And it's funny that I think it humorous that they have faces of men, but they have hair as the hair of women. It totally flies in the face of what we would say would be normal for a human face. See, there's no animal on the earth that has a human face but is yet an animal. But these creatures do. And they've been made by God, I believe. And they had breastplates, verse 9, as were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. You've heard that in movies. And maybe if you've been around a lot of horses and that thunderous roar that happens with a lot of horses that run. We've all seen movies that they've emphasized that and such as that. Running to battle, in verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. So we have a confirmation of their mission. They have a leader over them, which we will read. But I want to take a moment here, and I want us to read over here in Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, right? Joel chapter 2. And speaking about prophecy, speaking about the Word of God and the truthfulness and the rightness and the eternalness of the Word of God, listen to what a man inspired by the Lord wrote hundreds or thousands of years, some thousands of years ago. In Joel chapter 2, the scripture says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Hadn't that been what we've seen? The Lord's day is at hand. And the Lord's day is more than 24 hours. Understand that. The Lord's doing many things, but His time has come. And when you take a look at 7 years as compared to 6,000 years of the age of the earth, nominally as we understand, 7 years isn't much, isn't it? It's like a drop in the bucket. Is it not like a day, in a sense? A day of darkness and of gloominess. We've read that, haven't we? A day of clouds and thick darkness. We've seen that. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. There's something at hand. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them when these creatures arrive, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march every one on his own ways. They shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Vengeance is mine. I shall repay, saith the Lord. And the Lord's going to do it. And seemingly even the very fantasy of men is going to become, the Lord is going to bring his reality into them to show that he is God, and beside him there's none other. Back in Revelation chapter 9. In verse number 11, these locust-like horses, like prepared unto battle with scorpions' tails and faces like men and teeth like lions and hair like women, with a gold crown and breastplates of iron and wings and such as that. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. See, I understand that Satan is walking to and fro in the earth, not bound in a pit. He will be bound in a pit. He was at work in the days of the Lord's ministry, was he not? Did he not possess Judas? Yeah. And so this angel is at hand. He is the leader of those, the king over them. And his name, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. And Abaddon means perishing, or Hades, or destruction. That's the Hebrew origins. And it says here in the Hebrew tongue, it's Abaddon. He's a destroying angel in the Greek, as it goes on to say, but in the Greek tongue, his name hath his name Apollyon. Is he Satan? Is he a angel that followed after the wickedness of Satan? Or is this an angel of the Lord that is in control and directive of these creatures for the damnation, the torture, and the persecution of wicked men upon the earth? See, if this angel is Satan, he's destroying his own. He's tormenting his own. But I'm of the opinion that these creatures are of the Lord, and this is an angel directed to this work by God. Verse 12, one woe is past. And oh, what a woe, huh? The nightmare, a nightmare upon men for 5 months. Do you think that anything will be able to be done for 5 months? Will men be able to plant crops and work to survive? Is this folded in with that horse that brought famine upon the earth? Is this folded in with that and maybe a greater detail of one of the things that takes place? I mean, the whole world is going to be disrupted. How many are there? We don't know. But how is it that locusts come? They don't come in few numbers, do they? They never come in few numbers. And one woe is past. One woe is past. Then we come to verse number 13. After 5 months, what happens to these creatures? Well, I don't know. I don't know if they go away. I don't know if they go back into the pit. I don't know if their mission is changed. Nothing is said other than they're there to torment men for 5 months. Verse number 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Remember the altar there in the throne room of God? It's got four horns. Four horns that were there used to bind the sacrifice to the altar if necessary. And there's a voice, that altar under which the saints of the Lord that have been martyred for the sake of the Word of God were under. And there's a voice that comes forth, saying, verse number 14, to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, "Loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." We've seen four angels previously in chapter 7 and verse number 1 that says, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. And they were there to destroy and were told to wait for a while and before they did and pursued their mission. But these are bound in the great river Euphrates over there in the Mesopotamia, over there in the Middle East. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men." A quarter of the population has been killed in chapter 6, verse number 8. "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and the beasts of the earth." Now we have these four angels that are prepared for a year, 360 days by Hebrew time, a month, 390, and a day, 391, with an hour added to that. The time of their work is going to be longer, isn't it? And it's not just given them to torment men, but it's given to them to kill men. "And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. 200 million, if I count that right. 200 million of these horsemen, and they are not like the previous ones. In times past, I thought that they were connected with those of the previous woe, but it seems that they are different. Listen to how they are described. "And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions," not locusts. "And these have riders." These have riders. "Their breastplates having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone." This is the sixth trumpet. This is the second woe. "By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire that issued from their mouth," right? "By the smoke that issued from their mouth, and by the brimstone that issued from their mouth," which issued out of their mouths. "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails." How was it with the previous creatures? They had a stinger like a scorpion. "For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt." 200 million, if we understand that count correctly, 200 million creatures sent by God. Again, yet a greater nightmare for mankind upon the earth. His fantasy has become the reality of God unto his torment and destruction. "For the power," verse 19, "is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues," and there we have a reference to it being a plague, nothing like what it was in Egypt, huh? "And worldwide indeed, yet repented not of the works of their hands. They hardened their hearts," haven't they? Because what's missing? the Spirit of God's missing. The softening work of the Spirit of God is not at hand. And seeing the great power and the great ability of God and His creative ability and His being the Lord of hosts, God's got armies that we don't even know about. He's got power and ability far beyond anything that we could ever comprehend. And He creates the way He wants to create, and He directs the way He wants to create. As Brother Nebuchadnezzar said, none can stay His hand or say, "What are you doing?" And the rest of the men, verse 20, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, the two-thirds that remain, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, their idolatry and their paganism they hung on to in spite of seeing the great work of God. Neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light. Because their deeds are evil. Praise the Lord for the truth of His word. Amen. Praise the Lord for the revealing of the truth unto sinners. That He's made it to where we can see Him and see ourselves and see what sin is and know the difference. Because all these know is what they know naturally. And they don't want the way of God. Even though the Lord will open up very heaven and show His throne room unto the inhabitants of the earth, they will not repent unless the Lord moves. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that's the reason we need to pray that the Lord will move. Amen? We need to pray that the Lord would move amongst sinners and that the Lord would soften hearts. We need to pray that the Lord will reveal Himself unto sinners. And that sinners would hear the warning and believe the warning, that it is from a righteous and holy and mighty God that has made promises and told, given this prophecy. And as we saw this morning, it will come to pass. And that sinners would cry out for mercy before Almighty God. Without Him, as He's told us, as His children, without Him, sinner, you can do nothing. And you need the Lord. That sinners would hear the word of the Lord and flee from the wrath to come. It's coming. It's coming. We're so programmed into 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes, maybe 240 minutes of entertainment as great as a thriller movie would be or a science fiction movie would be and all those things, how there's just even the most heinous of creatures that are created by Hollywood and all that, aliens and all that kind of thing. But it's always over with in a few minutes. But these aren't going to be over with in a few minutes. And they're going to come one after the other. 5 months of the one, and then over a year and a month of the next. And these things are going to be at work, and I think that they're going to be at work while other things are happening on the earth. I think these things are going to be happening while the Antichrist is trying to do his thing and his persuading and his working. He's going to seek to claim that he has the answer, and then these tormentors of God will be there amongst them. The Lord has said to Satan, "You want the kingdom? Okay, you've got it. Fight against me." And there's no fighting against God, is there? No fighting at all. The spiritual warfare will become a physical warfare. But where will we be? We'll be in glory with the Lord. Amen? Yeah. Praise His name. May the Lord Help us to see the truth about these things and understand them, rejoice in them, and praise our Lord in them, and may sinners flee from the wrath to come.